It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Ton, did you get a load of that gorgeous moon this morning?
I did. It's
oh,
been.
Oh, goodness. That
came
full
up last
moon
night.
Is incredible.
It is.
It is incredible, and it's a beautiful day to garden. Well, to clean up in the garden.
Yeah, clean
there's...
up. And for the next week, we're in the 60s and mid to high 60s. In November, I won't ask for more. I know we're on borrowed time, but I'll take it.
Right. It was just that extreme drop in temperatures. I mean, I don't mind more fall-like weather, but man, that was just pretty hard to come back from. Everyone except Dave Meekham, who is still celebrating. I know. Yep. This morning, we want to start out and talk about a gorgeous tree with great fall foliage, the red oak, Texas red oak, I should say.
Yeah, this, and I want to differentiate this from the other red oaks. There mm-hmm. are three or four other oak trees referred to as red oak. And so Texas red oak is one that we've only trialed on the Wasatch Front on a limited basis, and there's not many of them around. And the reason I wanted to talk about this particular tree is that so far, unlike the other red oaks, it seems to be more adapted to alkaline soil, and so it would be less maintenance, potentially less likely to need supplemental iron. Mm. So we're always looking for something with good red fall color, and this Texas red oak could provide that. Now, I'm not encouraging people, especially if they live near Utah Lake or the Great Salt Lake or along the Jordan River corridor and are relying on the Jordan River for irrigation water, that's not the tree for you. This would be something more in the bench areas, or if you have a well-drained soil that other things grow fine, then Texas red oak would be one that you could try. I mean, the other advantage of this tree is it stays down to around 35 feet in Utah, and so it's an oak tree, but it doesn't get gargantuan in size.
Right. You actually just answered my next question, which is how big does it get? And this is mainly used for shade and, of course, you know, aesthetic pleasure.
It is. And it was assumed that it wasn't cold hardy here, being native to central and southern Texas. But we've been trialing it, and it's done well in St. George, and so it's quite heat tolerant. But so far, it's overwintered well for, I'm going on, like in Kaysville at the Utah Botanical Center, it's overwintered well for going on around 10 years. I believe Jordan Valley Conservancy District at the garden park has one. And so I know of a number of them around that so far so good on the Wasatch Front. Now, this is also not a tree for Heber, Logan, Huntsville, those types of areas. It needs to be the Wasatch Front.
Okay, and where would it be planted to have the best success?
Somewhere where there's room for it. You want a well-drained soil that, like I said, isn't, you know, near Utah Lake or near the Jordan River relying on that water, because it, you know, you don't want a lot of salt and alkalinity. especially the alkalinity. But if you have a larger front yard or a backyard, you know, say you're sitting on a quarter acre lot, you know, even a fifth acre, this would be a tree that you could definitely use, that as long as you made sure and walked off the 35 or 40 feet, you know, it's not going to overwhelm a backyard.
All right. Anything else we need to know?
It's going to be hard to find. It's one of those that you may need to special order. And I just want to put out there again that this is not one of those trees that has a, you know, huge long track record on the Wasatch Front. It has limited trialing, but so far in the limited trialing, it's performed surprisingly well. So if you want this tree, buyer beware and buy at your own risk. I'm not saying that it will thrive, but so far the preliminary work we've done, it looks okay.
All right. And for those folks who would like to find out more about the Texas Red Oak, you can find a very nice article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We do have a caller bright and early this morning, and let's go to Michelle in South Jordan. Good morning, Michelle. I understand you have a problem with one of your trees.
I do. And good morning to you guys.
What can we help you with?
Well, we planted a maple tree. It's probably 12 years old. And I've just recently discovered what the problem was. Well, what I think the problem was that it got sun scald. And so there's one, the west side of the tree is not growing at the same rate that the east side of the tree is. And I've been so puzzled about this and then learned that it got sun scald. And I'm wondering, can anything be done about that? What is the best thing to do with this tree? Because I hate to take it down, but I don't know if that's the only option we have and just replant.
It could be that the restricted amount of bark because of the sun scald, you know, that bark sloughs off and there's not a lot of water transport or anything through that side of the tree that's damaged. Now, mm-hmm. The tree generally has the ability to move nutrients around. And so if it was sun scald alone, that wouldn't restrict growth on one side of the tree usually. Just because
really?
It can move water, you know, that tissue just doesn't go up and down. The tree can move water sideways in essence. And so even though that bark is restricted, the tree, the water from the other roots would move around the trunk and into those other limbs. Now, those branches aren't growing as quickly. Are the leaves thinner and smaller?
I haven't noticed that they're thinner and smaller. I just know that the branches, the size, the diameter of the branches is much smaller. I mean, it looks very lopsided when you look at it from a side view, you know, so you can see the east and the west sides together. If you're standing on the east side, it looks great. You stand on the west side, it looks okay. But you stand where you can see both sides, it's just very imbalanced.
Okay.
And so, but it is growing. I mean, the leaves get really green and they look good. They're just so much
okay.
smaller.
Well, I mean, there could be some things going on. I'm not, you know, all I'm saying is what usually happens in horticulture. There's never really any absolutes. So all you can really do is in the spring, maybe fertilize the tree with some triple 16 or 2000. And you would do that in late March or early April. And again, in late May, and you just run a fertilizer spreader around the tree. You don't really need tree spikes or anything else. You want to get the nutrients to the tree in a form that the tree can get the nutrients as quickly as possible. So the other thing I would fully recommend doing is getting some of the gauze or the fabric tree tape that you can pick up from places like Steve Regan or IFA or your local garden center. And
okay.
wrap that trunk up so for the winter, and so you'd put it on now and take it off in March of next year, but you will wrap that trunk, and this white-colored tree tape will deflect the sun and keep the bark from heating up, and it'll allow the bark over a number of years to push back to where the damage is, and eventually, over a period of 3 or 4 or 5 years, you'll just see a seam where the bark has pushed back together instead of a
okay.
bare area.
Okay. So even as old as the tree is, you'd recommend continuing to wrap the tree and then do that each year then?
You know, it's tough to say, but if you're pretty positive it's sun scald, you know, at least until the tree heals, it may be worth doing. You know, that's a lot of tree tape. The other option is to paint the trunk with water-based latex paint. It may look a little silly, but it would last a couple of years and do the same thing. You would dilute it one-to-one with water. And then what I would do is just get a cheap pump sprayer that hasn't had insecticides or herbicides in it and use that because of the bark fissures. But if it's truly, you know, you could get away with painting the west and south side of the tree and leave the other side alone. But if it is sun scald, I think that at least for a few years, it would help the tree recover.
Okay. Okay. That's great. And would you recommend wrapping new fruit trees as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So if you want to kill your fruit trees, this is an unplanned segment on how to kill your fruit trees. Number one is don't wrap them in the winter when they're especially young. And two is not to follow good management practices on pest control and disease control. Those can be organic, but organic is doing something. And when you just don't do anything and call it organic, what you're really saying is it's lazy. So, wrapping those, you need to treat those fruit trees like puppies or a new swimming pool or something that require maintenance.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's perfect.
Good
Thank
luck,
you
Michelle.
So much.
Thanks for your call this morning. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Aren't you glad Election Day is just a few days away? Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. Maria Anton with you, taking your calls and questions. 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Ton, our next listener is talking about some trees that they put in their backyard. They put in two nectarines and two Asian pears. The nectarine trees did great and they're fine, but the Asian pear seem to have died. Do they need any special help in maintaining their life is the question of the texter.
Depending on the cultivar, it could be that they got fire blight in them. The standard 20th century, which is a great variety, is very susceptible to fire blight, and so there's others that are not. So that's one possibility, but otherwise they're actually probably a little more adapted than the stone fruits to our soils and things. And so there had to have been something with irrigation, or, you know, if both of them died, the first thing I'd look at is the irrigation, if the soil's permanently wet or something. Otherwise, fire blight could have knocked them out.
Okay, and there's nothing else they could have done to have prevented that?
No, you can treat the trees when they're in bloom. You put an agricultural antibiotic onto the trees. There's some other products out there that might be effective, but you have to prevent it. And once it's in there, if it goes from a branch into a trunk, the tree is pretty much gone, at least where that infection is. And if it works its way down to the graft and into the roots, it's dead.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller, and that would be Phil in Lehigh. Good morning, Phil. What is your question?
Good morning.
What can we help you with?
Yes, I was. We were wondering if we should cut back the stems on the perennials now that they've been frozen, or should we wait till spring to clean that out?
Now, I'd get it done because it's warm, and if you leave those there, they, especially if you have things like grasses and daylilies, they kind of become a mucky mess. And so they're actually easier to clean up now than they would be laying all over half rotted in the spring.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Phil, sounds like you have your work cut out for you this morning.
Yes, I will. It warms up a little bit.
All right. Thanks, Phil, for your call this morning. Next texter says, Ton, they brought out their amaryllis. They have two bulbs that they brought out. Both immediately sent up green. One is not leaves, but a flower. Will they get more blooms, or will this be the only one?
It should produce leaves. I wish I had my crystal ball and could say, you know, for 25 more cents, I can predict this. But, you know, anyway, I don't know for sure. But, yeah, it should send out some leaves.
Okay, but will it send out any more flowers? Or,
more flowers. Sometimes they might get two, but it depends on the health and energy that is stored and a lot of other things. But, you know, oftentimes, you know, as I've grown them, it's kind of a rare thing to get more than just the one.
Yeah, it's kind of hit and miss, too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get green and no flowers.
And if they're green and with no flowers, then it oftentimes is that the plant accumulated enough energy to live, but there's not enough energy to send up that flower for the year.
Oh.
And so you need to do it again and let it go through another season. And it should, if it's in a healthy situation with plenty of sunlight and nutrients, it should produce a flower the next year.
Okay, let's take our next caller. That is Susan in Kaysville. Good morning, Susan.
Hi. I have another tree question. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your information.
Thank you.
My daughter, she moved into a new home in Bountiful on the East Bench. And they planted an Acabano cherry. And unfortunately, they did not put deer protection around it. And they had a deer come down and scrape the sides of the tree. We were just wondering, is it worth saving, or are they going to have to replace that?
How much of the bark is intact around the trunk?
Unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's really any continuous bark. There's sections where, you know, it's there, and then around the other side there's sections, but my husband's looking at it. It doesn't look like there's really any real long continuous section that it goes all the way up.
If the bark doesn't go from the base to up into the branches and it's been severed all the way around, the tree is most likely going to die. There's stored energy in the branches that it may try to leaf out and even flower in the spring, and then all of a sudden it will collapse. And so if that bark is completely shredded and severed, it may be that they need to plant a new tree. I was up in East Payson the other day, and I got out of my pickup, and these deer were in a yard eating the bushes, probably 15 feet away from me, just staring at me, just like, what, stupid? Why are you interrupting our meal? And I mean, it's getting, they're urban, they're, you know, they still are wild animals, but they are so adapted that it's becoming more and more of a problem. And so if they want to replant, they are going to need to install some exclusion, probably, you know, some 6 to 7 foot high posts out far enough away from the tree, and then wrap that in either some chicken wire or something durable enough to keep the deer from rubbing. But once they find a spot to rub, it seems like it becomes habitualized to them and they like to come back to it. And so, especially with this being a little warmer, if the deer are still around, you can sometimes, like Orbit makes a sprinkler that's motion and heat activated. And, you know, if you can sprinkle the deer or something and do some things to discourage it, it may go away. It may not, too.
Okay. One quick question. Once they get to a tree to maturity after a few years, does the bark harden enough so that they can remove the fencing? Or
it depends on the species. You know, if you had a maple tree that gets the nice fissured corky bark on it, but they need to get to that point to where it has that bark that's a half inch to an inch thick on the outside. And they can still damage it, but it's much more difficult. And so when those trees are young and they just have that really thin, smooth bark, That's the critical period that they need to be protected. But, you know, I have acquaintances and friends that have orchards. And when those orchards are in an interface where deer are a problem, even on a 15 or 20 year old peach or apple tree, those deer can rip that bark off with their rubbing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Susan, I feel bad, but
we'll do this again, and this time they'll fix the problem. I appreciate your help.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back after the news.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.